Acts chapter number 4. Well, our family is glad to be here in Indiana. It is almost, I think tomorrow might be considered a full month. And so we've been here a month, and my kids have become country kids real quick. They're barefooted all over the place now, and we got to clean their feet every night before they go to bed. And we are enjoying it, and coming from a city of 2 million to 2,000, and so it's a big difference for us. And but it's been a good difference, and we've been enjoying it and embracing it, and God's been good. I want to tell all of you, thank you so much for just your welcoming arms and how kind you've been to us and just the different things each and every one of you have done to us. And we have felt right at home coming here, and it's a blessing. Thank you for having kids. Thank you for having kids. I'm glad we didn't have to go to a church where our kids didn't have any kids to play with. And we come from a church where I grew up where we had a lot of kids. And so our kids had a lot of friends. And but coming here, I think there's more kids here than in our last church. And so they're picking every service. Which one do I sit with? Which one do I play with this time? Because there's so many. And so thank you so much for your kids and how great they've been with our kids and playing with them. And it has been a blessing being here and getting settled in. Let's take our Bibles, Acts chapter number 4. Be in prayer for Pastor as he is out of town preaching in Iowa, preaching this morning, and he's preaching tonight. And I just pray for God to give him the strength that he needs. He's been doing really well, and it's been encouraging, just a blessing seeing him. I thought I was going to be doing more than what I've been doing since I've been here, and God's given him more strength than I think what he thought he was going to have in July. And so praise the Lord for that, and it's been good seeing him get up here behind the pulpit. I've noticed he's been preaching a little soft lately. It's just not his normal. I'm just kidding. It has been awesome. I love hearing Pastor Ross preach. He doesn't hide behind the bush. He just preaches what's in God's word and what God gives him to preach. And you should be thankful for a pastor like that. I was privileged to have a dad and a pastor who preached like that. And it was a blessing. Some people didn't last. Some people did. And if you want the truth, you're going to last. Amen. Acts chapter number 4 and verse number 31. We'll just read a few verses here. Acts chapter 4 and verse 31, it says, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul, neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all the things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all." Dear Father, thanks so much for your word. Lord, I pray you just give me the wisdom this morning and the words to say. Lord, I pray that you would just help me get out of the way and just preach what you want to be preached this morning. And I pray that it would help somebody this morning. And I pray that it would help me. I know it's helped me studying for this. And I'd be an encouragement as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Many years ago, I was in the Midwest working as, I think I was about an 18, 19-year-old. I was working for a government agency that they're the ones who put out the petitions, and you'll see them sometimes. Are they here at Walmart where people are out there getting people to sign petitions? Do they do that here? I don't know if they do that. Okay, well, in California and maybe other places, they try to get people to sign the petition so that it goes before for everyone to vote on. And so I would get paid for every signature that I could get someone to sign that they agreed with that. Yeah, let's get that on the ballot for everyone to vote on. And so I would do that. And so we went out in Nebraska. And while I was there, I went through a lot of small towns that were smaller than Jasonville and towns that were of, 50 population as you're driving in. But we had to get votes, signatures from every county and from all the different cities. We had to go everywhere. Couldn't just hang out in the big areas like Lincoln, Nebraska, and so forth. And I remember going past a small town, and there was a sign out in front right before he came into the town, and it was for a restaurant there in that small little town. And it said, "There's no place anywhere near this place like this place, so this must be the place." And I said, "Man, I got to go and try that place out." And so I got dropped off in the town, and I was kind of, it was Main Street, and that was all of town right there. And so it was the slowest day of work I'd ever been a part of. Usually, man, we're sitting out in front of a Walmart or a Sam's Club just getting signatures left and right. And this time I'm like, does anybody walk around in this town? There's nothing here, but there was that one restaurant. And I remember just all day long, the first few hours of the day, waiting for lunch to come because I wanted to go try this place. And I remember going there and trying it, and I said, boy, it's not really that great, but they sure like it around here, apparently. I'm like, it's not the best to me, but I said, man, the environment, and it was packed out. It was lunchtime, and I mean, everybody came into town for lunch, and the whole place, you could only seat about 30 people in there, and it was packed out. Everyone was happy, having a good time. You could tell there was different people that knew each other that were sitting in groups, and the elderly were sitting over here together, and these friends, these workers, and everybody else was enjoying their time, and I said, boy, they really like this place. It made me think about our church. And it made me think about the place we call church. And sometimes when we're not careful, we can complain about the place that God gave us called Blessed Hope Baptist Church. We can find all the holes. We can find all the things that are wrong with it because the people of the church, unfortunately, are not perfect, right? You're not perfect, but sometimes we expect the church to be perfect. We hold it to this standard. And we think that it should be perfect. And if someone says something, boy, I'm going to get upset. But of course, we would never say anything negative to someone else or hurtful to someone else. We would never say anything offensive. But if other people do it to us, it's a whole other thing. And boy, we can find all the reasons to poke holes in a church that God's given us. And this morning, I want to talk to you about that. A man was selling his house one day. And he had lived there for about 25 years. And the story is told, this is a true story. A man was he looked around the neighborhood, his house, just been there such a long time, and he decided he wanted to sell the house, just, you know, wanted something different. And so he hired a realtor to come to the house, and a lady came over, and he told her what he wanted. He said, I want to sell the house, so can you put it up on the market, whatever we need to do, take some pictures of the place. She said, okay, I can do that. And he said, and also, if you can also look for a new place for us to find another house to live in, another community, another area to live in. She said, sure. So she went to work, and she got an ad made to put in the newspaper and online. And so before she published that, she wanted to get approval from the owner. And so she brought that to him and wanted him to read it. And she sat down, and she read, spacious home and well looked after condition. No remodel needed, bright rooms with lots of windows, a comfortable living area, solid foundation, good roof, simple yet pleasant garden, and lots of open grassy backyard for the family to enjoy, a lovely deck for evening of entertainment for friends and sitting quietly to watch the sunset over the park, located in a safe, quiet neighborhood with all amenities close by. Come and see for yourself all this home has to offer. It won't last long in the market. Come quickly. He said, can you read it again? So she read it all again. He said, you know what? I'm staying here. I don't want to sell it anymore. It's amazing when you just pull out the positive things, right? And not the negative things. You actually enjoy where you're at. You actually will enjoy what God has given you. And if we're not careful as Christians in all the different areas of our life, well, we can complain about our spouse and find all the problems. If there's one person who knows more about their spouse, it's the other spouse, right? We know everything that's wrong with them, and they know everything that's wrong with us. But you see, we forgive that because we love each other, right? And we work through those things in a marriage, and we get stronger as in our marriage. Someday, when we get to go to heaven, we get to ask all the different people that were in heaven about the place, all the miracles that God performed. We get to talk to Adam and Eve about the garden and what it was like to never see a weed until after the garden. I know they will say there was no place like it. I can't wait to talk to Noah and want to ask him what it was like to be the only ones left alive at the time of the flood. And I'm sure he will say, I mean, of course, there was no other places around at the time. But I'm sure he would say there's no place like it. I want to talk to Moses about the burning bush and ask him how it felt to have God talk to him through a burning bush. And I'm convinced he would say there's no place like it. I want to talk to Abraham when he was on Mount Moriah, when he raised a knife in the air to kill his son. And God told him to stop. And God provided a ram that got caught in the thicket by his thorns, and he shouted, the Lord doth provide. I'm sure Abraham would say there was no place like it. Can't wait to talk to Elijah about all the thrilling experiences and miracles that he got to experience, and talk to him about Mount Carmel and how God sent fire out of the heavens to consume the offering that he presented. I'm sure he would say there's no place like it. You see, someday we're going to experience all the places that God gave those people up in heaven. And if we read through Scripture, we find times where they were complaining, times where they were going through a rough time, but God reminded them of what they had. God reminded them of what he did for them. And my wife created for us years ago a blessing box for us. And I've mentioned this many times to our young people, to where they actually, as we left, they had my brother custom make this box. And it says blessing box with a verse on the bottom of it from our teens that they had him do. And it's a beautiful box. But we just had a simple box in our house that my wife created. And anytime anybody did something small for us, or God did anything for us, using somebody financially or however it happened, anything small or big, we would write it down on that card and we'd put it down in there. And every 6 to 8 months or so, we'd pull them out and remind ourselves of what God did. And it's amazing in a short amount of time how we can forget the things that God does for us. You see, we're not going to forget if someone gave us a $100,000 check, right? If Brother Liffick walked up to me and gave me a $100,000 check, I'm probably not going to forget that a year from now. You hope it's not, right? Or 10 years from now. That's kind of one of those things like you're never going to forget it. But the small things are very important. I mean, as far as I know, I haven't got to know y'all very well, but I don't think anybody has the capability of writing a $100,000 check just because. I mean, you may have it, but it may be for a savings for the future and for retirement. But we're not preaching to a bunch of millionaires this morning, right? And the small things mean something to us. And when we remind ourselves of what God did, God will use people, God will use things to help us, to encourage us. And when we go through those tough times, we've got to look back at them and remind ourselves, hey, God did this for us. We may be going through a rough patch right now, but how about we remember what God did for us? Right. This morning, I want to preach to you a message simply entitled, No Place Like It. And when I say no place like it, I'm talking about this place right here. God's blessed you with a church. No place like it. Number one, if we're going to have a place that's going to be honoring to God, it's going to need to be a place of purpose. You see in the scripture here, the three disciples were not in the upper room by accident. The Lord Jesus had asked them to go there and tarry until endued with power. Our main purpose should be to win souls. Should be to win souls. I'm thankful that this is a church that goes soul winning. And then we've got Operation Occupation. And then we've all got a location that we go to and we witness to. And I hope that is not the only area that you witness to. I hope you carry tracts with you and carry them in your car or wherever you're going, at work, or you're going out to eat, or you go to the gas station. And everywhere you go, to be a witness of our Savior, to show them not just where our church is at, but to show them where they can go after they die from this earth. People are in need of a Savior, and we may be the only chance that they ever get to experience Jesus in their life. A place of souling. I remember hearing a story of a pastor who went to a hospital, and he was going to the hospital just to visit a church member there. And he heard a man over in the other room kind of just in some pain, and he asked his church member what was going on in the other room. And he said, well, he's got his one of his limbs is extremely messed up. And he said, he's an elderly man. And he says, just kind of the bone in his leg is just kind of shattered. And they've got to do a surgery to kind of put it back all in place. And they don't even know if that's going to work. It's possible they may have to amputate his leg. And he said, so he's in a lot of pain right now. So the pastor said, do you mind if I go over there and just talk to him for a minute? He said, sure. So the pastor went over there and got to talk to him and presented the gospel, and that man got saved. Well, that man went into surgery and didn't make it. They had to amputate his leg, and just things went wrong, and the man passed away. I believe he was in his 80s. But praise the Lord, 80 years of his life, he didn't know the Savior, but his last seconds, he found out that his Savior died on the cross for him, and he got saved because a pastor decided to do a little extra that day. He decided, I have a purpose. I may be visiting someone in the hospital that I know, but I know someone over there who probably is not going to heaven. I'm going to go witness to them. He had a purpose of souling. We must have a vision. We must have compassion. We must have a goal, a burden for souls. These things must be our passion. When's the last time that you witnessed to somebody? When's the last time God used you to lead someone to the Lord? It's a very convicting thought. I told our teenagers at the beginning of this year at our last church, I said, my goal this year is, I'm going to try to lead to the Lord at least 60 souls. I said, I'm going to try. I've never gave myself a goal before with how many souls to lead to the Lord. God's going to provide that. It's just our job to try to witness as much as we can to be able to try to lead people to the Lord. It's not our, we're not the ones that can do the saving, amen? It's just our job to present what God's given us in Scripture. And we can get better at that. The more we do it, the better we can get at explaining it. But I told the teenagers that I wanted to get better at it. So every week they're asking me, how many up to now? How many up to now? And I was giving them the number that Lord had given me and how many people I was being able to get seen get saved. And it was a blessing being able to realize I'm falling behind pace. I've got to witness more. I've got to get the gospel out more. And it made me so conscious because I had a goal. I had this purpose that I wanted to try to accomplish in this year of 2023 of trying to reach. And I knew how many souls needed to be saved every week and the percentages. And I had kind of mapped out, and I've been trying to get closer and closer and closer. But I know the only way I'm going to get to that number is by witnessing more, not by witnessing less. God didn't call me to sit. He called me to serve. Amen. We, our purpose should be to witness and give the gospel. Number two, if it's going to be a place that's honoring to Christ, it should be a place of prayer. When you read the scripture, when they prayed, great things happened. The Bible says in these verses here, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken. You see, there's something powerful when it comes to prayer. There's something, the Bible, when Elijah prayed, fire fell. When Paul and Silas prayed, the earthquake came. When Solomon prayed, wisdom was given. When Jesus prayed, Lazarus came forth from the dead. When Daniel prayed, the lion's mouths were shut. When Daniel prayed, God revealed Nebuchadnezzar's dream. When Jonah prayed, the whale spit him out. When Hannah prayed, God gave him a son, gave her a son. When Joshua prayed, the sun and moon stood still. When Elisha prayed, God blinded the army of the enemy. And when Hezekiah prayed, God added 15 years to his life. Boy, I could keep going on and on. I'm here to tell you this morning, prayer still works. It's still in the Bible. God's promises have not changed. The Bible still promises that the same things that he did years ago, he can still do today. The Bible says, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not. It also says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Whatsoever ye ask in my name, that will I do. Whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Oh, we must have a place of prayer. Say it with me. We must have a place of what?
Prayer.
Place of prayer. When I was in college, somebody put on their door a sign, and it said, where God guides, he provides. And then another student put on his door, where he leads, he feeds. And so I decided to get my, I'm a jokester, I'm sorry. If it offends you, I'm sorry. Sometimes I have been a little nice in the teenagers so far. I kind of tapped a few things on the trip, you know, and I realized which ones can handle it, which ones can't handle it. I realized Max can handle a lot, and so I'm going to dish a lot his way. No, but I made a sign and said, where he leads me, I will follow. What he feeds me, I will swallow. Amen. And I've held true to that ever since, because I will eat just about anything. Someone once said that I'm a human garbage disposal, and that does not sound good, but I don't eat that stuff, all right? But I do like food. But God always going to provide for us when we pray. Pastor Tom Walz, many of you probably have heard of him or heard of his preaching before. He got called in the ministry at a very young age, and when he did, they went to a town starting this church. Him and his wife were very poor. They didn't have much at all. They were just going in faith to start this church. And they started this church by knocking on doors, amen? Knocking on doors, inviting people to church. And as they're knocking on doors, they ran into this little short-haired white man. He was a white-haired man that was about this tall, very, very short man. And the Pastor Walz witnessed to this man, and after being there for about 30 minutes, was able to lead this man to the Lord. Came to find out he was the owner of one of the wealthiest restaurants there in town. He was soning that day in a very wealthy neighborhood. And I don't know if that had to do with trying to get money for the church or what, but he was witnessing to this man. He led this man to the Lord and got saved. He came to church that Sunday and was one of their first people to come to their church. And he came to the church and he was there the first Sunday. And then he came back the second service. And the pastor invited him over for dinner, and he went to their house, and he realized they lived in an apartment, very small. This man lived in a very huge house. He realized very quickly that this pastor and the pastor's wife didn't have much. They had one child at the time, but they were just barely making it. So the man told him, he said, "You know what, I want to do something for you." He said, my restaurant, he said, "Every single week we get food delivered to our restaurant, fresh food, some of the finest food you can get." He said, "Every week," he said, "I want you to tell me what you want. What are the foods that you and your family eat? We will make sure they are part of the order every week." And he said, "They will be delivered there to my restaurant." And he said, "You can come pick it up every single week." He said, "Also, I want you to dine in at my restaurant whenever you want for free. You can come there every single day. You can come there three meals a day if you want." He said, "You gave me," and the pastor said, no, we don't want that from you. No. He said, "That's too much. You don't need to do that for us." He said, "Pastor, you gave me the greatest gift that I could ever ask for." He said, "It's worth more than all the money that I have." He said, "I just want to be a blessing and do something small to help repay what you gave to me. And he did that miracle for them. And Pastor Wallace came home and told his wife what this man had done. And the wife just started weeping and crying, because you can imagine they'd been through some tough times. If you've been through some tough times, finances, they just seem to turn our whole world around sometimes. And they can make things very hard. And I remember hearing that story of Pastor Tom Wallace telling that and saying, "Boy, God does great things." I remember hearing my dad tell so many stories about when they first got in the ministry and how tough it was, but God always providing. And I remember my dad telling me a story about his rent and the amount that they needed to pay. They had absolutely nothing in the bank, and a check showed up from one of the members in the church for literally the exact amount to the penny. They don't know how it happened. They never told anybody else how much their rent cost, but the exact amount, a check came through because they were praying. Because they asked God, "God, we're trusting you. We're going to do whatever it takes." God will help you, Christian, if you just pray to him. I've said this many times, though. We can pray to God all we want, but if we're disobeying everything that Scripture tells us to do, he's not going to answer that prayer. Okay, he's not going to answer your prayer, just like your little kid who, if you've got children, they want things all the time. And you're not going to provide those needs when they stomp their feet and they say, no, I don't want that. And they're giving you a bad attitude. It doesn't make you say, "Hey, let's take you out for ice cream. Remember you asked for that? Let's go provide for you right now. Let's do whatever." God wants us to be nice to our children. So let's be nice to him. That's not how it works. With our children, they've got to earn those things. God's our heavenly Father. He's our heavenly Father. We are his children. So we've got to earn them too. So if we want God to answer our prayer, then we better get close to this thing right here called the Bible and get our life in tune with it, stay in church, be faithful to church. And the closer we get to him, the more he will answer those prayers when we come to him in prayer, and he will provide for us. If it's going to be a place that's honoring to Christ, it needs to be a place of preaching. The Bible says, "With great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ." They were out telling it, sharing the good news, preaching the gospel. 3,000 had just been saved through the preaching of Peter. 5,000 more would get saved in another few days by the preaching of Peter. God was doing something great through the preaching of God's word. I believe if you come to church faithfully and you hear God's word preached to you on a consistent basis, boy, it helps you get your life back to where it needs to be. You may think sometimes you need to get counsel from pastor from certain things, but when you come to church and you hear certain preaching, it realizes, okay, that's what I got to do right there. That's the decision I need to make. Thank you, pastor, for that. But if we're not careful, we get upset at the preaching. It's very easy when you're not doing right to get upset at preaching like Pastor Ross preaches to us, because it can hit home. It can hit something that, that's something I'm struggling with. Let's move on to the next thing. Come on, pastor. Come on. Boy, I don't like this. I'm not coming to the next service because this is getting a little too hard around here. That's what we need to get better. Any sports player would tell you they want a coach or they want a very good player to be hard on them and to teach them to get better. They don't want someone who's just going to keep them in the baby mode all the time and just encourage them and just say, "You're doing good. I know you can't ever make a basket, but you're doing really, really good." They want someone who's going to teach them, right? Teach them how to shoot, have the form, how to tell them, no, you're not doing it right. Or get on them when they're on the court. That's what a coach does. That's what a pastor does for us as church people, as members. That's what he does for us. And I'm thank God that we have a pastor who preaches and doesn't just teach the word of God. Amen. We need teaching. Amen. We need teaching, but we need preaching of God's word. I don't think there's anybody on planet Earth who would ever say that Pastor Ross doesn't know how to preach the word of God. I remember when I first got married, I didn't know who he was. But all it took was a few minutes being around him, and I realized who he was. And I said, I am scared to death to date this man's daughter. But praise the Lord, I fought through it and got through. I was scared to death when my dad told me to marry my wife. He didn't tell me. I should tell the... Let me tell the backstory. He set the whole thing up. Two dads just say, hey, our kids can marry each other. Guess that had some pre-context there. When I was in college, my dad woke up one morning right before I went to my senior year to college, woke up, didn't have any memory left. He woke up, didn't know who anybody was, and it was the craziest thing. We didn't know what was going on. And he was kind of like in a child form where he didn't know us, and he was very scared of us. And it was a very strange thing. And it was about a week before college was starting for me. And day after day went, and he didn't get his memory back. And we were trying to help him through all of it. But he's pastoring. He was pastoring our church. And so I decided to stay home from college that year. And so I stayed home. And I was going to stay home for just a semester because I needed to go back to finish up my senior year. And as I stayed home, it was about 2 weeks. And finally, his memory, all of a sudden, he woke up one morning, it was completely back, and it was a very emotional day for him, but his memory came back, and he was able to get back to pastoring, but my mindset was, I'm going to go back to college, you know, go back in the spring, and our youth pastor at the time the church couldn't afford to keep him on staff, but he was still the youth pastor, just working a job and still being a youth pastor, and I remember them finding another church, and they left to go to that church, and my dad came into my room that night, and he said, I need you to be the next youth pastor at Regency Baptist Church. And I said, what? I was like, that was something I never wanted to do. Never wanted to in my life be a youth pastor. I thought my youth pastor was crazy, and he was like the best. And I'm like, I could never be like that. I never want to be a youth pastor. So I was like, that was out of the picture. And he's like, no, I want you to be the next youth pastor. I said, Dad, no. I was like, I've got to go back and finish college. And he was all like, no, you don't need to finish college. He said, I already prayed, and God told me that you're supposed to be the next youth pastor of Regency Baptist Church. I said, Dad, I'm not even married yet. He said, well, don't you think she's the one? And I'm like, yeah, but we've only been dating for like 8 months. And he said, well, go put a ring on her finger. Go ask her dad. And I said, Pastor Ross, after dating his daughter for 8 months, I'm going to ask him if I can marry his daughter. And man, I was scared to death. And I don't know how he said yes after 8 months, but I only saw him, I think, 2 times in person before he said yes. But that's the story behind that. Well, let's get back to the message here. I have no idea what that had to do. Preaching, amen, preaching. Pastor Ross is preaching. There's a great need for preaching in our day-to-day. We have so many quote-unquote preachers online that, boy, if you're on social media, you hear all their little quotes just floating all over online. And, boy, all they do is teach, but they spend all week long trying to come up with a quick line, you know, a quick little, you know, phrase that can just go all over the internet. Boy, they're just a great preacher. But if you listen to their messages, they have nothing. They hardly preach anything out of the Bible. All this is make you feel good and make you feel good preaching. Nothing's preached hard. Nothing is preached on sin. It's just the love. Just love God. That's all it is. Just love God. Well, how do you love God if you don't know what is in His Word? What are the rules? What are some things that He wants you to do in your life? You can't love your parents if you don't follow their rules. Amen? We can't love our Heavenly Father unless we know what's in His Scripture. We need preaching to remind us what's in His Scripture. You remember the story of Ezekiel preaching to the dry bones. As a preacher getting called to preach, can you imagine that being what God calls you to go preach to? A valley of dry, dead bones. And maybe you've heard the song of the toe bone connected to the foot bone connected to the ankle bone. But that first message God gave him was a message on unity. And boy, all the bones came together. I mean, can you imagine if you're Elijah preaching? I mean, you feel like you've got the power of God in your preaching when bones that are dead, that are dry, are coming alive, and the foot bone is finding the ankle bone, and they're just somehow getting connected. As you're preaching, God gave him that message of unity, and then he gave him a message on unction, and they got anointed to have a purpose. God wasn't just going to bring them back to life just because he had a purpose for them. And then he gave them a message to preach to those bones that have now turned to flesh on usefulness. God created them. God created you and me to be useful for him. He didn't create us just to show up to church. It's great to hear the preaching of God's word, but it's another thing to take action with the preaching that God has preached to us through God's man. And God used Elijah to preach to those valley of dry bones and to teach them, now you need to go be used of the Lord. We need to be used of the Lord through soul winning, through the bus route, through witnessing to other people, through being a light in this community here in Greene County or whatever county you live in. It is our job as Christians to be a light to those around us. George Whitfield, the famous preacher, preached his final message. And he didn't have a microphone. Remember that. He didn't preach with a microphone back in those days. And the news caption said he preached until the light went out. He preached until the light went out. We need preaching, amen. If our place is going to be a place, anywhere near our place, like our place, we must have a place of preaching. Thank God for good old-fashioned preaching, amen. Thank God for Pastor Ross, amen. I said, thank God for Pastor Ross. There we go. A place, next, a place of power. With great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. The Bible says the place was shaken. God, the Bible promises the same power is available to us in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. We won't go there for sake of time, but we have the same power that's in the Bible. Sometimes as Christians, we read the scripture and we read what God did for these people and we think he can't quite do that for us. The same power is available to us. We could have people stand up in this room this morning and give testimony of the miracles and the things that God did in each and every one of your lives. How encouraging that would be to realize, hey, the same power is still available to us. A place of power. As Christians, we have that same power. When we go to the workplace, there should be something different about you at your job than those around you. Maybe not for me at my job here at the church, but for those of you that work out in the work field away from church, when you're there, people should know that you're a what? They should know that you're a Christian. It shouldn't be a shocker. My dad tells this funny story about these two men that came to church, and they only came to church. One of them came to church on Sunday morning on the first and third Sunday, and the other one came to church on the second and the fourth Sunday. So they never saw each other. They didn't know each other's words. And they both worked together. They worked at the same place. They had no idea what church either one of them went to. And one day, it was Father's Day. It happened to land on only one Sunday. And they both went to that service together. Said, hey, Bill, how's it going? They're shaking hands. So is this your first time here? They said, no, I've been coming here for like 7 years. I've been coming here for 10 years. And they're like, what? We never knew. And the reason is because they never talked to each other about church. If you don't talk to people about your church, if you witness to them and invite them to church, they're never going to know that you're a Christian. You see, many of the people that you work with are going through hard times. They need someone to reach out to. They need a Christian to reach out to. They're not going to reach out to somebody who's doing the same stuff that they're doing. They're going to reach out to somebody who's something's different about him. Something's different about her. There's something in their life. They're always happy. They're always topside. There's no way everything's perfect in their life. But some reason, there's something different about them. And they're going to say, I want that. I want to talk to them. They've got something that I want in my life. If we are acting like a Christian, if we're portraying ourselves as a Christian in the workplace and at the gas station, at the grocery store, we should be noticed by those around us because of our Christian principles, because of our Christian life. Lastly, this morning, a place of prayer. When Paul healed the lame man, the people started to praise God, and so did the lame man. David cried out in Psalm 107. He said, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works for the children of men. One day, a camp meeting, they were having a praise meeting, and they were having people give up and give testimonies, and a lady stood up, and she said, I want to praise the Lord. My cup runneth over. And another lady stood up, and she said, you know, my cup runneth over. God's been so good to me. And another lady stood up and said, I ain't got much to praise the Lord for, but she said, I ain't got no teeth left except for two, one on the top, one on the bottom, but praise the Lord, they meet in the middle, amen. Praise the Lord. We can find a lot to praise the Lord for, amen? we can find a lot to praise the Lord for. This goes all back to the negative things. We can find a lot of things to be negative about or find things to be positive about. If I'm not mistaken, Pastor a while back preached a whole series to you about being positive and staying away from the negative things in your life. It's very easy. We're natural as humans to fall into the negative side of things. It takes work to be positive. It does not take work to be negative. Just ask my kids, right? They'll be negative, and it takes work for them to be positive, right? I have to try to teach them that every single day. Like, don't always find the bad things. It's okay to, like, be happy and find good things and say thank you, amen? Say thank you. A place of praise. Pastor just preached the other night about saying amen. Can we say that real quick? One, two, three.
Amen.
Amen. When he's preaching on something, we should say amen. We should encourage the preacher. We should praise the Lord. When it gets announced that somebody got saved, we should say, hey, man. We should get excited and say, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It's okay to get excited. You may look weird. You may sound weird, but it's okay. Embrace the weird, amen. Embrace the weird. We're Baptists. We're Christians. It's okay to get excited and praise the Lord. Other people should hear us say the word praise the Lord. Even in the workplace, it's a good place to say praise the Lord. I always want to see what people say when something good happens. I'm around someone I know, they don't go to church, and something good happens. I love saying praise the Lord and just seeing their reaction to that. They're kind of like, huh? 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 I love it because I want to give all the credit to Him. I want to give all the credit to Him. Praise the Lord. If our place is to be much of a place, it must be a place of praise, must be a place of purpose, must be a place of prayer, must be a place of preaching, must be a place of power, and it must be a place of praise. Next time you get frustrated, you're going through a hard time, maybe someone said something or did something, maybe the pastor preached on something that just you didn't like, and you're getting frustrated, boy, and you're thinking about quitting on church. Or maybe you're thinking about quitting on one of the services, you're not, or maybe you're thinking of giving up a Sunday school class, or maybe you're thinking of giving up serving on the bus ministry, and you're thinking of backing up in your Christian life, just remind yourself of how blessed you are and the good things that you have in your place. And tell yourself, there's no place anywhere near this place like this place, so this must be the place. Can you say that with me this morning? There's no place anywhere near this place like this place, so this must be the place. One more time, you're almost there. Here we go. There's no place anywhere near this place like this place, so this must be the place. And remind yourself of what is in this place and what God's doing in this place. Let's pray. Dear Father, Lord, thanks so much for your scripture. Thanks so much for your truths and the principles that you've given within it, Lord. And I pray that we would just find ways to glorify you and to praise you, to lift you up, be thankful for what you've given to us here at our church, Lord. Boy, we could make a list that would never end if we just decided, I'm going to think of the positive things that are going on. The church here in Jasonville, Indiana, Lord, it's running bus routes, picking up people, lead them to the Lord. It's encouraging for me, Lord, to come from a big city and to come to a small town like this and to see that many buses bringing in that many people on the bus routes. What a church that has so many people dedicated to serving you on a bus route. It's not easy serving on buses, going out in the heat on a Saturday or going in a bus when it doesn't have much airflow, it doesn't have air conditioning, it's hot, but they do it for the kids. Lord, I pray that if someone's not in the bus ministry today, I pray they'd get convicted and decide to surrender to you and start working with young people, working with bus kids and going soul winning and getting involved in Operation Occupation. Lord, I pray that all of us would be more involved and do more things and be more dedicated to our place we call church, to our place that we call Blessed Hope Baptist Church. In Jesus' name.